Lala and Kiara on Radio 3, and so am I. We're going a bit Latin already. I love it. 2024, Happy New Year to you, Maurice Misolowski.
Happy New Year to you. My favourite time of the year, a new year. We're working in the future.
Because you've got stuff to do, haven't you? The end of the year and the beginning of the year. So that's sort of what you do. What's been going on? How are you?
Yeah, very good, very good. Happy New Year, as we said. Your fireworks look terrific on our television anyway.
Huge.
Very, very wonderful. I mean, truly wonderful.
Mind
and spectacular.
You, Sydney looked amazing too. Goodness me, I saw some pictures there.
Sydney always does. I mean, our fireworks were good. We were on the beach this year looking at them. They were really good. We spent a squillion on them. They'd better be.
Always, always. That's an interesting industry we've never talked about. It's so old. But the pyrotechnics industry, I mean, is that being surpassed by drones and lights and lasers and stuff? I mean, just as a random thought.
Yeah. It's evolving into it, because a lot of the people that are in the fireworks industry are certainly moving into drones, and they're moving into it as a supplement. The fireworks industry actually had some issues around the world too, because of its pollution, because of its noise, because of all kinds of stuff.
And the scaring of animals has become a big and big thing, hasn't it? Even some radio stations play gentle music for animals when it's fireworks time.
In Australia, I don't know elsewhere, I'm assuming it's in many countries also, but in Australia it's really heavily regulated, they did the usual they do every year. They put out some false stories around the last week of the year, warning people about what happens if you use private fireworks and showing deadly stories of people that have, and they really try that whole PR campaign of avoiding it. But you do theoretically have huge fines here. So to answer your question, drones are certainly an evolution of, but fireworks is really, really, really old.
And really dangerous. I remember growing up near a fireworks factory, which was actually a load of little huts in case one of them went off.
Oh, that would have been interesting. I mean, I remember back to the days of Guy Fawkes Day. I don't know if that was a thing in Hong Kong. I assume it was, because it was a London thing. Guy Fawkes
not
Day was,
so,
was
not
a,
so much, really.
It was a British legacy thing. And we used to, I mean, we didn't, but I certainly remember as a child fireworks going off, being able to buy crackers and all that kind of thing on Guy Fawkes Night. That's gone a long, long time ago. I mean, about 20, 30 years ago, that disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, they're illegal here, which is interesting because Chinese New Year is just around the corner. Hello. But, I mean, I was looking at just some social media stuff about what was going on where I grew up. And I think there you can still buy them. You used to be able to literally walk into a newsagent and say, guess a bunch of these. But when you, and I knew a couple of kids that got burned very badly with fireworks.
Yeah. In New Zealand, you can still buy them, because I remember we were driving around New Zealand year before.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, ordinary shops on the high street were definitely dedicated to fireworks. They were advertised well, so it certainly was available then. I think it still is. So it depends on the country.
Interesting. We should put this one away, you know, sort of industries that are so old and they kind of slip through the net. This is a perfect example of it. I mean, it's not exactly going to be in your realms, is it, talking about that kind of stuff?
It always is. Look, it fascinates me too, because for the very reason you said, it's an old industry. It kind of celebrates a whole lot of things. It is a celebration. It's used for death as well. It's used for all kinds of symbolic reasons, and the symbolic reasons don't disappear. The way that we manifest and the way they come about changes. Drones will certainly be a part of it, but we're still working those out. You know, the drones are beautiful. They do some really interesting maneuvers and patterns and things, but we still like to see them drop out of the sky, and they do.
Yeah.
So it'll take a little while.
Absolutely. Well, this is the perfect time to talk about what people think are going to be the big areas this year, and I just can't help thinking in one way or another. It's got to be AI, really. What do you think?
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, I know.
Look,
other stuff slipping through the net, other really cool stuff.
Yeah, look, it's definitely the year of the AI. We're going to see some really, really cool artificial intelligence changes this year. Google put out a release just before New Year, late last week, saying that there was a brand new type of artificial intelligence coming about.
Oh, yeah.
And that is more of an artificial intelligence that doesn't require us to do unusual things. In other words, we might be able to talk to it quite plainly. It'll be able to figure out, color in between the lines a bit more. They were saying it will be far more interpretive. It's the same. I don't remember which one. It might have been Google or Amazon or one of them.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Apple, said that the devices we talk to within the first few months of this year, 2024, would be a conversation rather than, you know, Google please or Amazon please type stuff. It'll be more conversational. Again, it'll be able to color in. What we're expecting is, remember, this technology is old. We've talked about going back to the 40s, 50s, very, very embryonic. But in the ChatGPT November 2022, so really new in the big scheme of things, has kicked on to be a multi-billion dollar industry. You can't have a conversation now with artificial intelligence, and I think that's an issue because I believe it's been overhyped, as have many technologies. Not to say it's not wonderful, not to say it hasn't been game-changing. It's changed health, it's education, it's changed everything. I just think that we're expecting a little bit too much of it because it's too much of a baby still. It's got to grow into a teenager and go into adulthood.
That's such a good way of putting it.
It's time to mature.
Because when you hear people talking about it, they always talk about instructing it and teaching it and stuff. That's the sort of the fun part of it. But I've been looking at some bits and pieces about, you know, the genie coming out of the bottle with AI dominance leading to directly to cybersecurity concerns and phishing attacks. And, you know, they're talking about data analytics training becoming key to AI adaption. Well, that's just the boring side of it. But basically, misuse. That's just the article I'm reading and I shared with you.
Yeah. How many times have we talked about this?
No,
I don't mean about that. I mean the notion of all these wonderful things that I put this positive spin on and think have great possibilities, all of a sudden horrible humans go off and do really horrible things with them. And that's exactly what's going to happen with artificial intelligence.
There's an interesting thing here, Morris, where this particular author talks about something that's worth considering. He talks about we are less easily impressed by AI tools. What do you think of that?
I'm not so sure. I'm really not. And I say that because of the uptake of this, you know, thing called ChatGPT November 2022. It was the fastest piece of software uploaded, downloaded, used, whatever term you want to use. We all just fell in love and besotted.
But now we're going, oh, it doesn't do this well enough. It doesn't sound like
but
that.
But again, it shouldn't yet. I mean, what we're trying to do is make it meet our imaginations and our dreams, and it can't, and it won't, and it shouldn't, because it's not human. It is a piece of machinery. At the end of the day, wisdom should come from humans. But it'll help. It 100% definitely will change all kinds of industries and has already. Cybersecurity to me is a great threat. I mean, I truly believe it's one of the biggest threats, has been for a very, very long time. But because we talk so much about artificial intelligence, because we are beginning to rely on it more, then, you know, if we can break into that reliance, if we can start and it's being done right now, if we can feed artificial intelligence with terrible things or wrong things and then spread that out to the world, that becomes another form of cybersecurity we need to worry about. Garbage in, garbage out.
The devil's in the detail, because we are talking about intelligence here. And what people are worried about, that it decides, as is its will, it decides to let something in.
Yeah, and I have difficulty with the word intelligence because I don't think it is. I think what we're talking about now is really information and knowledge. Information is raw data. Things are unuseful. They're just zeros and ones.
Sure.
Knowledge is stitching together those zeros and ones and making a pattern out of it. But what wisdom is really being able to interpret that pattern well and say, you know, the nose isn't right. If we keep on that analogy, the nose isn't right. It really should have two eyes, not three. That's things that humans do particularly well. So I'm that's why I don't like the word intelligence, because that then sets up an expectation that I think is not yet ready to be fully cooked.
Do you reckon the use of any word that we would use for a human is perhaps a bad way? Intelligence, being, all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, I have trouble with labels anyway. I mean, all those words kind of come with, you know, a supposed view of what that thing is, and that's not true of everybody or anything. But again, we do this to ourselves, artificial intelligence, artificial knowledge, whatever you want to call it. We will definitely see more and more of it, but there are lots of other things we need to consider, because humans and our society and all sorts of bits and bobs are changing behind the scenes. We can't just keep all, you know, both our eyes on artificial intelligence. We really do have to think more broadly than that.
Yeah, but artificial intelligence is the thing that's got us all excited. So the obvious question is, do you think everybody's getting, you know, really freaked out about that? Is it going to sort of smokescreen other things that are happening that are really cool? We just haven't got the time to think about them. Is there anything on your radar that you think, hey, this is interesting?
I think, absolutely, I think that. And for me, that's one of the reasons, you know, that I intend to be busier this year than many others.
Because you've got an AI.
Because there are so many other things that we need to consider and people are not willing to because they're so besotted by this new toy. The world really is changing in many, many ways. Always has. I mean, this is not something that's just happened today.
No.
It's always changing. But I do think that we evolve. I don't know if we change, but we evolve at a faster pace than we ever have. And that's because we have so much around us to choose from and so many things that impact on our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, climate change is going to become more and more of a political issue this year. I know that we're sick of talking about it or hearing about it, and it's not to denigrate in any way because it's absolutely true and we've caused harm. We've said that many times. But I think it's going to become more of a political issue this year, not just in politics, but in business and other things. It's become weaponized. It's become that topic again that there is only...
That's not good stuff, though, is it, Morris?
No, in any sense whatsoever. And that's really one of my big concerns this year, is that I've noticed, and it most probably just me getting old, crotchety, but I've noticed over the past year, 18 months, certainly since COVID's finished, that we are becoming very much single-focused again.
Yeah.
As a society. I'm not talking about you and I, I'm not talking about our listeners, but I'm talking about as a society, single-focused, meaning that we've come to believe that there's one right way, one wrong way, one opinion, one of everything. And to me, much of what we're hearing, reading and doing lately is that one way. We're not looking for nuance. Life is about nuance. We said a moment ago that there's all kinds of different people doing all kinds of different things. That's what we need to keep in mind, that there isn't a single solution to anything. The world is far more complex than that. Artificial intelligence assumes a single solution for something can be found, if not in the brains of humans, in the brains of technology. And that, to me, is the biggest issue I've got. It doesn't exist, can't exist. Single solutions are just too simplistic for most of the problems we have.
Yeah. Is it possible that the future is in the way AI is instructed? Because we all look back and we say, this teacher was great, this teacher was really horrible, and people complain sometimes about their kids getting duff teaching. So, you know, teaching doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be good.
No, 100% I agree, because it is the way we ask the question. I mean, as a past researcher in a past life, I know that the way you phrase a question can lead you to a specific answer. And that's true of artificial intelligence, because we use our bias. This isn't a negative thing. We are human. So we can only ask questions in the way we understand to ask them. So our bias, in fact, informs what that information will come back as. The way we phrase the question, the words we use, the way we interpret what's given to us. Again, these are human traits. These are not negative, horrible things. They're human traits.
That neuro-linguistic programming, there's an element of that. You use certain words to get lodged into it. I mean, does this thing, NFL, does it kind of, NFP rather, does it kind of respond to the power of the words we use? Is that where we need to...
Well, it does, and that's one of the issues very, very early. In the early days, it's garbage in, garbage out, so that's usually referred to. And yes, absolutely, because this thing is not omnipresent, even though we think it is. It's got information from somewhere. It might have got it from lots of somewhere. It might have, you know, scoured the internet and read voraciously and memorized voraciously, but it's still got it from a set pool of information. And that's all that it can ever do. It can only ever refer back to said information it's found in the past and then learn from it, interpret it, feed it back differently the next time and the next time. Mm-hmm. But it always goes back to a source of data. So to answer your point, you could very easily, and this is what happens, this is what's happened and what will continue to happen, is you could contaminate that field of information quite easily. In other words, you could give it a set of data or information that would then give a particular view of the world or a particular answer to a question or set of questions that could influence people's thinkings right across the planet.
Remember, we were having a conversation like this probably every year we've been talking together. Now, there are so many other bits and pieces that could be in this conversation. That's an interesting one. In some circles, Elon Musk has been given village idiot status, whatever people think of him. And does that mean, though, we're not talking about his inventions as much as we used to?
Well, Elon Musk, I mean, I think he is wonderful in many ways. He's P.T. Barnum. I mean, he's our modern-day P.T. Barnum. You know, he talks a much bigger game than he has. That's not to say he hasn't done terrific stuff, but he always talks a much bigger game. And you know what? We need him to. We truly do, because sometimes the technology just has to be told to the world. It has to be shown to the world. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to listen to a whole lot of other people. But if he says it, as silly as it might sound, as incredulous or impossible, at least it's out there and people can begin to think about it, make their own opinions.
Yeah, do you think the Twitter thing damaged his rep at all, Morris? Because people are easily swayed these days.
Yeah, look, I think he does, but I also don't sense that he cares too much about it.
Yeah.
That he's quite happy being his own man, his own person, and he'll make his own opinions. I don't know him. I don't know that to be true. But from what I read and the way he tends to respond, a lot of it most probably is bravado, P.T. Barnum. But he seems quite happy to go on his own tune.
P.T. Barnum. Would you go as far as saying Svengali or something like that?
No, I think that's putting too much of a negative on him.
It is.
Look, I like the kind of stuff he talks about. And, of course, I'm biased, you know. My bias. You know, I like the Hyperloop that he talked about that we've never seen, which is fast transport. Not because we should do that form of transport. That was the one where we were going to use a tube. We were really, you know, like a vacuum tube. We're going to put a train sort of thing and it's going to travel really fast. I like it, but not because that's possible, although it is, and it's been used a little bit, although not very much, but because it tells us we should be looking for something else than we currently have. He talked a lot about battery storage, about Tesla battery storage, long before it became popular, about the notion of taking energy from the sun or somewhere else and putting it into a box for a later day, for a rainy day. That's become, you know, that's become ordinary now.
But since ChatGPT, that people aren't talking about them. When's the last time you talked to me about autonomous cars? Ages ago.
Most people have given up the ghost because they think they know all, you know, because they think they've heard everything that there is to be said. It's probably been a good 6-12 months. But before, you know, before then, going back 10 years or so ago, it was the conversation everybody wanted to hear about. And by the way, everybody wanted to laugh about because it was impossible. Mm. It was never going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so interesting that this topic has taken over everything. I mean, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I mean, in the last 12 months, I don't think I've had a conversation, been on stage, talked, you know, done media interviews or wherever, where those two initials haven't come up. In fact, it's absolutely certain artificial intelligence in some way will. It's also fascinating and wonderful to see already the changes that it's made in health, in economics, in politics. Okay. We think the changes it's made, which leads me to believe it will be. It's absolutely a part of our future. The genie is out of the bottle. We will never revert back. It's like saying the internet will be taken back and forgotten about. This is exactly the same thing. Artificial intelligence is, I don't mean it's the internet, but I mean it has changed the world forever in the same way. The internet exists. We do a whole lot of stuff because of it. Artificial intelligence exists. We will do a whole lot more stuff because of it. It's just one of the platforms that we'll live our lives on from now on.
You brought up a couple of things just then, Morris, that are fascinating, and they really are significant, especially in the world of medicine. But the fun conversation is all about the stuff we can access online and how it will do our homework for us.
Yeah. How to do our homework, how to do our thinking, how to put our shopping list together, how it'll keep our home tidy, how it'll tell us what needs to be done. And that's, again, going back to what we said a little while ago, the Googles, the Amazons, all those kinds of people are saying this year is really going to be about tying all the bits and pieces that we have already of artificial intelligence and trying to make them far cleverer. And by clever, it's more appreciant. It's not about finding more information, although it will continue to teach it to do that, but it's about being able to interpret what we want far better, because it's the nuance that makes us humans. You know, we don't even often know what we're looking for or what we're asking, but we somehow stumble our way towards finding the answers to both of those. That's what it needs to do.
So back to where we started, that is the conversation people are going to be having this year. There isn't anything that's going to be an also-ran that we should be thinking about, in your opinion.
Look, I think we're going to have issues with politics. There's a whole lot of elections this year that will be monumental because they might change the course of the world, literally. We've got the American. I know that the Russian elections, as probably I already said, but they're going to be held anyway. There's a whole lot of other ones. India, UK are all having elections. The economy is another big one we'll talk about this year. I think work is also going to change. We're going to see some return to the way we used to work. There's a pushback in Australia for getting people back in office 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. I think that's going to heat up this year. All kinds of stuff. Generation gaps are going to change too. Baby boomers are moving out of the workforce. Wealth is changing. So it's not just AI. There's lots of things.
It's going to be
fairly
AI
sure
in all of that anyway.
Oh,
Morris.
AI in all of that, you're right.
Let's put the lid on it for another day. Really appreciate your time.
Got to hold you to talk about the
rest of it. Take care, mate. Morris Misiolowski, live from St Kilda in Aussie.